The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
We're on the third commandment. And today's message, now here, check it out. In my time at Remnant, I have used SpongeBob SquarePants, Napoleon Dynamite. Today, we're going to class it up a little bit. Today's title is taken from Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet. Not bad. Don't get used to it, because I'm sure we'll go back to a funny pig film or something next week. But today's title is A Rose by Any Other Name. We're going to talk about God's name today, and how to use it and how not to use it. I think so far this is going to be the Ten Commandments series. This is the one that's going to mess with us most so far. They're going to get uglier as we go along, but this is one I think that all of us are going to deal with. So let's pray. God, thanks. Pray that you'll open our hearts to hear what you have to say. Thanks, God. Bless us now. We ask it in your name. Amen. In Romeo and Juliet, Romeo asks, what's in a name? A rose by any other name would still smell as sweet. And what Romeo's trying to say is, look, it doesn't matter what you call it. A rose, a daisy, I mean, whatever. You call a rose any other name, it's still going to smell the same. And we'd have you think that names don't matter. Well, if names don't matter, tell that to Frank Zappa's kids. You remember Frank Zappa? Back in the day. Frank Zappa had a song about moving to Montana so he could be a dental floss. He was going to raise dental floss. Frank heavily experimented in drugs in the 70s, I think is the biggest thing. Frank Zappa named his kids Moon Unit and Dweezil. Now, if you don't think names matter, you'll be a third grader of the name Moon Unit or Dweezil. How about names like Jeffrey Dahmer? Anybody with the last name Dahmer raising, you know, naming their new kid Jeffrey? Probably not. Or Adolf Hitler? Or Saddam Hussein? These names bring feelings. They do something to us because they mean something. We associate them with something else, or we associate them with somebody, but the names matter. God's name matters. And I think we're kind of in the habit of using it too loosely. I think we've lost some of our reverence for God's name. I've told you before that when I was pastoring in Gardena, we had a lawyer who was a very devout Jew who refused to write my name. My last name is Godsey, G-O-D-S-E-Y. When he would send me letters, it would be addressed Reverend G_D-S-E-Y, because he refused to even type the word God, even though it was part of my last name, because he had that kind of reverence for it. We think, well, that's kind of silly, and maybe it is, but it shows a reverence. So let's go to the first point here, and that is that God reveals his name. Now, let's look at the first commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Look at that again. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Now, I want to read it to you from the Message, which is the next slide. No using the name of God, your God, in curses or silly banter. God won't put up with the irreverent use of his name. Now, before we go any further, I want you to do mental inventory. How many times this week did you say, oh my God, and you weren't praying? It may have been, maybe you texted, OMG. OMG, the new Justin Bieber album is out. OMG, I just had the best shake. Really? Really, I don't think God has anything to do with Justin Bieber. I don't know. I may be wrong. But no. Really, think about how easily have we gone to that? Oh, my God. You see something, something you like, oh, my God, look at that car. Really? See, we're too familiar. We don't understand that there is a reverence that has to be attached to God's name. Now, God wants to be closer to us than any brother, but there's that balance there. I love my sons, but I don't want them to call me Jerry. My sons call me Dad. And my youngest one turned 25 yesterday. Don't misuse the name of God. Now, this is the first commandment that's different than the first two. We just talked about the first two commandments. The first two talk about God in a first person singular. It says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make an image, because I, the Lord, am a jealous God." But this one is different. It says instead of saying, "You shall not misuse my name," he says, "Don't misuse the name of the Lord your God." It's different. It's more formal. It's saying, "Look, I'm not even going to misuse my name here." It's something for us to think about. We get kind of used to it. Now, to misuse God is to take it or to use it in an empty manner. So if you're praying and you say, "Oh my God, I love you so much," that's the proper use, isn't it? But, "Oh my God, I just got the cutest shoes," I'm pretty sure that's an empty use, isn't it? Would you use your name there? "Oh my Jerry, I just found..." It just sounds bizarre. Let's just find somebody else we can use. So, oh my Dweezil. I think Dweezil, that's a good word. Oh my Dweezil. At least we don't have to worry about, Dweezil smiting us or something. Think about it. We don't use that because we're toying with God. We're toying with God's name. We wouldn't put anything else there because nothing else sounds right. But we're letting the world tell us what it ought to be. See, the word empty or vain means to use the name in a worthless or deceitful way. To use it to promote falsehood. To use it to promote falsehood. In Exodus chapter 3, God told Moses, "Say to the Israelites, the Lord," and the Hebrew word there is Yahweh, "the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation." Here's the name he wants us to use. And Yahweh is the Hebrew. In fact, Orthodox Jews, when they wrote Yahweh, would leave out the vowels. So every now and then you'll see somebody who's a Christian that have a license plate that's, which I think, I don't know anyway, YHWH, because they would take out the vowels. Something to think about, huh? Other nations knew God's title. The Israelites knew God by name. Other nations knew him as the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Israelites. Israelites knew him as our Father. Israelites knew him as our God. See, and why would God go all the trouble to teach the Israelites his name? And the reason is simple. God reveals his name so we can know him personally. See, this is the difference between knowing a cop as an officer so-and-so and knowing him as Joe. Isn't there a difference when a CHP officer pulls you over and you don't know who they are? You're all, yes, officer. Yes, license, registration, yes, officer, here we go. But if it's your next door neighbor, "Bob, why are you pulling me over?" My friend Les Knapp was a CHP officer for years, and I was going to school. I was still working at Faith Academy then. I hadn't worked for the sheriff's office yet. And he got behind me. And whenever they get behind you, there's always that, "What did I do?" You check your speed, and you look at, make sure your seatbelt's on, you make sure your armpits are okay. I don't know why you do that, but you do. I do anyway. Anyway, maybe it's just me. We check everything out. And then he got behind me, and I pulled into the parking lot of the church, and he pulled in right behind me. And I went, "Oh, come on. In front of all my students, this guy's going to write me up." And then Les gets out of the car, and he is laughing his head off. He said, "If I'd had another block, I'd have lit you up." Dude, that's just wrong. He gets out of the car. I see his bald head shining in the sun, and I know it's Les. I went, "Aw." If it had been another CHP officer, I would not have felt so good about it. See, that's the difference. We don't have God that's a title. We have a God who knows us, who we know who he is. And that's why God gave us his name, so we would understand him, so we would know him personally, not so he could become part of a text message. God doesn't want us to relate to him as some unknown God. He wants us to relate to him as somebody who gave his own son for us, somebody we're close to, somebody that is our Father. And then he went the extra step and he sent his Son. Because now we don't just know God by title. Now we know what God looks like. We've seen a God who came down to the earth to become one of us. See, he didn't have to take that step either. But God wants us to know him. He wants us to be close to him. Just don't misuse it. So let's go to the second point then. Let's talk about misusing God's name. When you think about it, God took a risk by telling us who he was. He didn't have to do that, but he did it anyway. And remember who the Ten Commandments are written to, by the way. These are people who were in slavery and God led them out. God didn't give Moses the Ten Commandments to, and then said, hey, take them to all the people who are slaves and say, hey, if you want to gain your freedom, this is how you live. No. He went to people he had already led through the desert. He went to people that he had already established as his people and said, here's how we're supposed to live. It's a whole different ballgame. I've already freed you. I've already fed you from stuff that fell out of the sky. I've already given you water out of a rock. Look, here's why I want you to live. This is part of it. They weren't given to the world. They weren't given to sinners. They were given to God's people. That's why these matter to us, because they're part of our heritage. They're part of who we are. Now, it's easy for people who don't know God to break his commandments. Why? They don't know God. Doesn't that make sense? Do you know how many laws are in our books? We took some more slot machines this week. Some guy is dropping off slot machines and putting them in stores. By the way, if you know of any, please let me know, because they're not legal and we're trying to find more of them. And they had to call because nobody knew the penal code right off the bat. Nobody knew the penal code for slot machine, for an illegal gambling machine, because we don't do it very often. It's 303, by the way, if you want to look it up. I knew that because we gotten three more machines the week before. You know how many penal codes there are? And we don't, I mean, I work in law enforcement. I don't know them all. I look and say, really, that's a law? We were all shocked to find out that if you lose your license for driving on the road, like for drunk driving, whatever, you lose your license, you can't drive in the desert either. We first started patrolling the desert. That was a shock to all of us. Really? You can't drive out here either? Nope. Nowhere in the state of California. Go to Arizona. But see, once you know God, once you understand God, once you accept God as your Savior, now you're branded. Before Tiger Woods was sponsored by Nike, he could use any golf ball, any golf club he wanted. Once he took their money, started seeing Tiger with Nike shirts, Nike hats, Nike golf clubs. In fact, there was kind of a furor when he first started golfing with Nike because he didn't like the ball they made. They had to redesign and make a brand new golf ball because Tiger didn't like theirs. And he got caught using somebody else a couple of times. Whenever you see Tiger Woods playing golf, not that he does it very much anymore, he's wearing a Nike logo. Why? Because Nike pays him a lot of money to wear that logo. When people see us, they should see God's logo. They should see God's brand on us. Why? Because he's done so much for us. He's done so much in us. There should be something in us that says, hey, I belong to God. I'm under contract to God. It's good stuff. Now, 1 Peter 4:16 says, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Notice that if you suffer as a Christian, not if you suffer because you mouth off to somebody. I always feel important to draw that out because I'm being persecuted. No, you're not being persecuted. You said something stupid, you got punched in the mouth. That's not being persecuted. That's just what happens when you say stupid things. So how do we violate this third command? How is it that we violate it? Well, we misuse God's name whenever we misrepresent God. And I got some ways here that we misrepresent God. Now, before we go any further, in a lot of the pro sports contracts now, there's what's called a morals clause. If you break your morals clause, you lose the money. When Latrell Sprewell, remember Latrell Sprewell? Spree, gotta be free. He choked his coach. Now, I've coached football, I've coached baseball. No kid ever tried to choke me. I would have hit them with whatever piece of equipment was nearby. And I coached younger kids and high school kids, so I think I could have taken them anyway. He choked his coach. And then was shocked when the Golden State Warriors said, "We're not going to pay you." It broke his contract. I'm pretty sure in his contract, I don't think it said it, you know, explicitly, if you choke your coach, you lose. But I guarantee you, every contract he had after that said if he choked his coach, you'd get in trouble. See, when we trust Christ and become his followers, it's as if we put on a uniform that bears that name. The Golden State Warriors told Sprewell, "Look, you wear a shirt that says Golden State Warriors. You represent us wherever you go." Understand, if you call yourself a Christian, you represent God wherever you go. And even if you don't take it seriously, the people around you do. The people who aren't Christians who see you, they do take that very seriously. So let's get some brass tacks here. First way we misrepresent God is by using profane language. Okay? And I'm not talking just about the words we all know. Some of the first words I learned in Spanish, by the way, are the words you're not supposed to say. You hear them all the time. You might as well learn them. That way you know if somebody is saying something bad to you. My roommate in college was from Sweden, and he had an English slang dictionary. And he was, first of all, he was shocked by graffiti, because they don't have it in Sweden, or they didn't then. And he would come into the room every now and then. He'd gone to town. He'd come back, and he'd look up something, and I'd just hear him say, "Oh, my." I just tell him, "Found another one, huh, Stefan? Oh, my. Why would they put that in public?" And then one time he said, "That was on a young man's shirt." Well, welcome to America, Stefan. But see, the word profane literally means to take something holy and make it common. Take something holy and make it common. We already talked about how holy God's name is. When we make it common, we use profane language. Again, let's go back to texting. OMG. We had the young man from the church that typed OMFG. And I told him, the F? Oh, yeah, it's freaking. No, it's not. No, it's not. Come on, let's be honest. And by the way, while we're talking about this is off the subject, but if you're a Christian and you're typing things like the world types, and I know text messaging, you're old guts, you don't know. Yeah, whatever. I don't think Christians ought to be typing, you know, WTH, what the hell? Or a WTF. Or all these other things that we use that are slang terms. Look, you're saying it. The whole reason you're typing those little three-letter things is because everybody knows what they are and they know what the F stands for. If you're a Christian, do you really want to represent yourself that way? If you're wearing God's logo, if you're wearing God's name, do you really want people to think of you that way? And you can say I'm old or out of touch or whatever. I doubt it. I text as much as anybody here, probably. I'm on the internet as much as anybody here. I get it. I just don't think it's right. I had a kid that came to practice when I was coaching ball at Imperial. And he had a hat, and he thought it was really funny when he flipped the bill up. It had FU on the underside, but it was all typed out. I said, "Take the hat off and don't bring it back here." "Well, you can't tell me that." "Yeah, I can. You're on my field. You're on my team. I don't want you representing me that way. Out of here." He's the same one I literally kicked all the way around a lap one time, but that's another story. You take something holy and make it common, that's profane. And by the way, that's why words like the F word and stuff, that's why they're profane, because they take something holy. A physical relationship between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, by the way, husband and wife, not man and woman, okay? Not man and man, woman and woman. We won't get into that right now, but the physical act of love between a husband and a wife that God said is holy and undefiled, and then you add all these words, these descriptive words that just make it filthy, and you take something holy and make it ugly, make it common, that's profanity. That's where that word comes from. Second, we misrepresent God is with false teaching. We teach things in Christ's name that are contrary to the Bible. And you would say, "Well, wait a second, I'm not teaching the word, really?" When's the last time you as a Christian talk to somebody about your horoscope? Say amen or ouch. "I'm a Pisces. That's why I'm the way I am." No, your mama didn't raise you right. That's why you're the way you are. How about if you just claim things in Jesus' name? That was a big thing there for a while. I had kids in my youth group, a Corvette would pass by. "I claim that Corvette in Jesus' name." Really? Really? God just became the bellhop in heaven? That was a big thing. Oh, we got to claim blessings. Really? Okay, I get that God wants to bless us, but when you just use Jesus' name the same way a little kid says, Mommy, please give me, think there's a problem there? I do. Especially when we're adamant about it. In the name of Jesus, I want that Corvette. And God in his wisdom knows, I can't have a Corvette. I got a speeding ticket and a Hyundai. Not even the good Hyundai, a little junk one. I was going downhill, but I was still going really fast. The hill helped. Another way we misrepresent God is with broken promises. And I didn't put it up here, but look it up when you get home. Psalm 15:4 basically says that the person who follows God is one who keeps his promises even when it hurts. You ever promise that cost you something? I promise I go. I don't want to go. Well, you promised. Get in the car and go. When Jesus talked about the third commandment, he said that we shouldn't swear oaths. Now, why don't we swear oaths? Because we gave our word. That's enough. We don't have to swear an oath. I so promise, why are you like blood oaths and all that stuff? We don't need any of that. Why? Because we said we would. Our oath is our word. If we're going to follow God's word, Matthew 5:37 says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Broken promises misrepresent God. You know, broken promises like, I promise to keep myself only unto her as long as I shall live. I promise to love, honor, cherish, till death us do part. That's a promise. Another way we misrepresent God is by cursing people. If you put the word God and damn in the same sentence together, you've cursed them. When I was working at the electric supply wholesaler, we had a guy who loved to use God's name in front of me because he thought it was funny because he knew I was a minister. And one day, he said, yo, God. And I put my head down. So what are you doing? I kept my head down for a long time. I waited for him to respond. What are you doing? Oh, you said God. I thought you were praying. I was just praying with you. He was out there one day, and his truck wouldn't start, and he yelled, GD truck. And I said, well, it's not going to start now. He just called God's curse down on it. Oh. I want you to think about that. When you say that, you're cursing somebody. You're saying, God, please do your worst to this person. Now, you may feel like that sometimes. You see that guy in the hallway at work? Oh, yeah, God, take care of him. That's not the same thing. And you shouldn't be doing that either. In fact, Luke 6:28 says, bless those who curse you. If we bear Christ's name, we live in an age of God's grace. Then we should give grace to other people. We shouldn't be using God's name like that. Finally, and this is a weird one, crusades. We misrepresent God with crusades. Now, I'm not talking about a Billy Graham crusade. You know, God is not cursing. You know, Billy Graham is not using God's name wrong when he has a crusade. I'm talking about when we use God to further our agenda, whether it's biblical or not. I'm talking about when we try to twist a scripture to fit our way of thinking. Anytime we use God's name to justify our sins, especially to unbelievers, guys, especially to unbelievers, we're sinning. There are people who use the name of Jesus to justify homosexual behavior, racism, hatred, all kinds of stuff. I remember reading about the 60s, the civil rights of the 60s, and I remember asking myself, where were the pastors? Where were the pastors who stood up and said, look, I don't care what color you are. God loves you, and that means that I have to love you. I love you too. And then I read that there were pastors who were preaching from their pulpits that God thought people of a different color were sin. And let me tell you something. I personally will apologize for the fact that any minister dare profane the name of God by preaching that way. May God forgive them. Hey, I don't care if you're pink with purple polka dots, God loves you. And if you are pink with purple polka dots, you probably ought to see a doctor. A little hint from your Uncle Jer. I've heard men leave their wives and justify it by saying, well, God brought this other person to me, so I'm just following God's will. Really? I guess you missed that whole part about, God hating divorce and God thinking that, no, you need to stick with the one. And no, I'm pretty sure God is all about dance with the one who brung you. I told you, this was the first one that really meddled into our hearts, isn't it? Hey guys, when you start using the Bible to justify your sin, you're misrepresenting God and you're using God's name in vain. Finally, let's talk about honoring God's name. We got all the bad out of the way. Let's talk about the good. How do we honor God's name? Do you know how many golf balls, tees, shirts Nike has sold because of Tiger Woods? You know, when Tiger Woods had his whole problem, most of his sponsors dropped him. Nike kept him, but kept him on a low thing. There was actually a watch company, though, that actually ramped up their sponsorship of him, especially in like France and some of those other countries. You know why? Because adultery was seen as a good thing. It was seen as it makes a guy like a stud. Oh, he had like 35 lovers, so he's a stud. So they actually paid him more to use his image. It's kind of perverse to me, but that's the way they did it. So think about it. If seeing, you know, NASCAR is all about advertising, I still don't understand like the Tide car. There's a Tide car in NASCAR. Okay, am I going to buy more Tide detergent because some guy's driving around in a circle with that on the side of his car? I don't think so. I mean, I like NASCAR. I like racing. I'm redneck at heart. I like racing. You get two. I'll watch lawnmowers race. Especially if they're allowed to run into each other. I just think that's cool. I grew up around drag racing where basically you just go as fast as you can in a straight line for a quarter of a mile. But it's never made me think, you know, my clothes aren't as clean as they could be. I'm going to use Tide. Then you got the Tide car running against like the All car or some other detergent. Well, I guess you decide which driver you like better, and that's the detergent you buy. I don't understand the process. I don't understand the process. You carry God's name. Understand, guys, you carry God's name. You are God's advertising wherever you go. You're the Tide car of Christianity. If you call yourself a Christian, if the people at work know you go to Remnant, hello? By the way, if you're going to act like a really bad person, tell people you're like a Baha'i or something. Don't tell them you go to Remnant, please. I don't want you making our church look bad. Oh, but Jerry, that's harsh. Yeah, sure is. There's been too much blood, sweat, and tears put into this place to have you ruin our reputation because you don't take God's name seriously. Because you don't take the fact that you follow Christ seriously. Amen? I love you. Keep coming. Just don't tell anybody you do. You keep coming. Hopefully we'll work some of that out of you. I'm going to look down at my notes now because it keeps me from getting in trouble. You see that? He said that and he looked right at me. If it helps, I'm having trouble with my eyes, so I'm not really seeing anybody clearly. That's a lie. We honor God's name when we enhance God's reputation. Joanna and I are both going to school. The difference is Joanna hates her school. I love mine. That's a good statement. Our desks kind of join, and she sits behind me, I sit behind her. And every now and then I'll hear on the phone to them, and I'll think, oh, I'm glad I don't go to school there. See, I tell everybody about my school. I want everybody to go to my school because I love it. They're great. It's been a great experience for me. I love it. And that's what God wants us. I try to enhance the reputation of our school by talking about it, by talking about how the programming and what I do and all that stuff, because I think that's great. We enhance God's reputation. Think about that. God is God. But the people around you, the only God they see is you. You're God's representation of them. You're the Tide car. You're the Nike emblem for God. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you enhance God's reputation every time you honor God. First way we enhance God's reputation is with our worship. Psalm 34:3 says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We talked a couple of Sundays ago about how when we sing, it's not just words on a PowerPoint. They're prayers. And guys, really, sing. Sing, worship God, lift your hands. You want to dance, dance. I don't dance. Just because I look really bad doing it. If you ever see me dancing, either I'm having some kind of seizure, or you know God has really, really taken hold. That's the only thing you're going to see me. We worship God when we represent God when we worship. When good things happen to you at work, do you say, thank you, Jesus? Or do you say, man, I was lucky? Really? Luck? Luck? Is it lucky that I am this good looking and this poor? That's not luck. And I know what all you're thinking, just be quiet. It's not luck, it's the blessings of God. And every time I give God the glory for something that's happened in my life, I enhance his reputation, the people around me. Another way we enhance God's reputation is through our witness. In Acts 4:12, Peter said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Those are incredibly strong words. There's no other name by which we're saved. Not even Dweezil Zappa. Whenever we reach out to somebody who doesn't know Christ, whenever we do something in God's name good for somebody, we're enhancing God's word. We're enhancing God's name. We're being the good representation. If you give somebody something and they ask you, why'd you do it? Just say, because God's given so much to me. I just shared with you. Does that make sense? Finally, we worship God. We enhance God in our lifestyle. Colossians 3:17. This is a powerful scripture. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we say and do, give thanks to God. Whatever you say and do, represent God well. Whatever your job is at work, I'm be real careful here because I know people who represent God, represent themselves as Christians at work, and they're not good employees. How does that work? Oh, I'm a Christian. God has saved me. God has done something great in me. Oh, but I'm a lousy employee. I take extra long breaks, and I do things I know I'm not supposed to do, and I talk bad about the boss wherever I go. Really? You really think that's a good representation of a Christian? What if you badmouth other people, other Christians especially? I was a youth pastor. We were sitting around, and I was sitting with two unsaved kids, kids who'd never been to youth group or anything and really needed God. And one of the girls in our youth group watches a young man come up. And she looks over at the one unsaved kid. She goes, man, I hate him. Really? So when I tell this kid, at the end of lunch, hey, really want you to come. We got a family that meets on Friday nights. Our youth group is family. Well, except for her and him, she hates him. Really? Are we misrepresenting God? If you're one of the people at work that's always griping and bellyaching about somebody or something, are you really representing God all that well? Whatever we say and do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Don't profane him by not doing it well. Don't profane him. Look, man, whatever you're going to do, I don't care if it's emptying trash or you're the head of a corporation or your job is to change diapers. I don't care. Whatever it is, do it to the glory of God. Because that's who we represent. The bottom line of the third commandment is this. As followers of Jesus Christ, we carry his name wherever we go, whatever we do. If we're followers of Jesus, we don't take off the uniform when we're not in church. Wherever we go, we're followers of Christ, and we bear that name with us. Now I want you to think back to this week. You know, this always reminds me of, like, the guy who wears a Yale sweatshirt. Did you go to Yale? No, I just like the sweatshirt. Well, couldn't you have found a different sweatshirt? Or the guys that go to the games, you know, they go to the ball games dressed in their jerseys. And there was one guy went in his full uniform. And, you know, carrying his glove. I don't know. Did he think the manager's going to say, hey, we need an outfielder. You, come here. Look, just wearing an Andre Ethier jersey doesn't make you a Dodger. I wasn't going to use a Padre because I don't like him. Look, you don't just take it on and put it off. Wherever you go, you're representing God. You need to know that. This is how we handle the third commandment. by living our day, every day, whatever we say, whatever we do it all for the glory of God. Amen? Finish the work
you have started in me. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.